Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, host of the program, joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa is back with us, ladies and gentlemen, and in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated, the real J-Mac is in the screening room, ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. I want you to know right now, as we have been going through various things, we are going to open the phone lines in the final segment. I know some of you have been itching to get on the air. Well, today is your day. I'll give the number now, because some of you are waiting to jot it down. It's 888-589-8840. That number is 888-589-8840. It's not happening now, but in the third segment, we're going to open the phone lines. And as we go throughout the show, I'll explain what it is we want to have a conversation about. Now, today, all kinds of things are happening. Thomas Massie out in Kentucky, having lost his primary race against the Trump-supported former Navy SEAL Gallarin. Was that how you pronounce his name?
Galrine.
Will Galrine? Or is it Ed? Ed Galrine, that's right. That follows Senator Bill Cassidy in the state of Louisiana, lost his primary bid. You may recall Bill Cassidy voted to convict President Trump on his impeachment, on the impeachment fiasco. Now, there's lots I can say about that. I'll say it later. I don't think that was the sole thing, but it was a major thing that led to it. But that was the first time within the last, almost 20 years or 14 years or that a Senate incumbent lost a primary. Thomas Massie's race was the most expensive congressional primary in the history of our country. What does that say for the direction of our nation? What do you think about the direction of our nation? We're also going to have a conversation, and I'll get to this in the second segment, because I couldn't shake the insanity that we discussed yesterday with Katie Turr and McKay Copins. What's his name? Coppins was his name? Coppins was his name. So we're going to dig into that. And I want to get your reaction to that as well. And I have a particular question I want to ask on that front. But before we get into any of those things, this is a program where we remind you daily. Oh, don't let me forget to mention, by the way, Raul Castro has been indicted. Did you see that? Oh, Raul. Been indicted. I mean, what's going on? Ayatollah Khomeini's gone. Nicolas Maduro in the New York jail cell. That's why some of them may be calling him Maduro Frito. Frio. But before we get into any of that, this is a program where we remind you daily that what goes on in your house is far more important than what's going on in the White House. Not because the White House is unimportant. It is clearly important. But you and I have a task that we must see to, and we do not have direct influence over what transpires through 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. We don't nominate cabinet members. We don't nominate Supreme Court justices if they're vacancies. We certainly don't fly to China and meet with Xi Jinping. But we are responsible, and we do set the tone for what happens in our own homes. We do engage in our own homes. And my encouragement to you is that you do so in the light of the life of God's holy word and recognize that you have the express privilege and opportunity to cultivate outcomes. That's why as many of you are transitioning right now, if not most of you, from your part-time jobs, that's where you generate an income. But your full-time jobs, our full-time jobs, is to cultivate outcomes. And that is what we want to be about. We must be about that. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. We look at our nation, we see things happening, young people going haywire. I just saw one of several videos. You have these children going to a high school graduation and they turn the high school graduation into an all-out brawl. Now you got arrest warrants, people fleeing from the law because you have teenagers going berserk at a high school graduation nonetheless. To which I always say, all of these young people come from someone's homes. It's easy to point the finger. But are we really, you know, as we're pointing one finger externally, then we have three or four pointing right back at us? To the word of God we go. Colossians chapter 1 is when we're going to begin the program today. And I pray that the Lord opens our eyes, man. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul is writing his epistle to Colossae. You might recall, and this text is going to remind you of that. Colossae is a city in Turkey. But the Lord birthed the church not through the Apostle Paul's primary evangelistic ministry. The initial evangelist in Colossae was a man by the name of Epaphras. Epaphras, as we understand it, traveled from Colossae to hear the Apostle Paul minister in Ephesus. And then the Lord opened Epaphras' heart and mind and eyes to regeneration, to where he embraced saving faith in Christ Jesus and went back home to Colossae and proclaimed what he had received. And we'll read verses 1 through 10 in Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also, since the day you heard of it, and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I want you to note that the Apostle Paul expressed to the saints at Colossae that he and Timothy and his ministerial team, as it says in verse 9, since they heard of the Colossians' faith, verse 9 notes that since they learned of it, they have not ceased praying for the saints of Colossae. Praying for what? Praying that they may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I want you to note that that is an appropriate prayer area. It is appropriate for you and me to pray for ourselves, sure, but to pray for the body of Christ, that the Lord's bride may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Guys, that's appropriate. Then Paul goes further and explains why we're praying in this way. Why? Verse 10 tells us, so that the Colossian believers will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. In other words, he's praying in this way so that the Colossians believers' lives will be affected by this answered prayer, that their lives will be impacted by God's answer to this prayer. So they will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. This is one of the things that must be emphasized, guys, that Christ's following impacts every area of our lives. Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ impacts every area of our lives. It is appropriate to pray that the believer may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. In all respects. Being a follower of the way of Messiah should impact the way that I interact with my wife, the way that I interact with my children, the way I go about doing my job, the way I go about running my business, the way I go about interacting with a stranger, the way I go about interacting with family members, the way I treat coworkers. It all must be governed by the Lordship of Christ. The way I steward my citizenship in the United States of America must be governed by the Lordship of Christ. We have to get out of this notion to where we kind of compartmentalize what it means to follow the Lord. Paul goes on to explain, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Guys, this is appropriate for us to pray, and this is appropriate for us to pursue. The decisions that I make concerning how we rear our children, the way we discipline our children, must be submitted to the Lordship of Christ and governed by his holy word. I mean, enough is enough. You know, we live in a time where postmodernism and moral relativism has given way to living in a post-truth society. But can I be frank with you about something? It don't really matter what your opinion is about something that God says is abominable. Your opinion doesn't govern. It doesn't really matter what your opinion of the matter is. Now, I know, obviously, as a human being, and we all have opinions, but what's ultimately going to govern? That's the bottom line. And we need to be also honest about the fact that if you are asserting an opinion while professing to be a believer, but your opinion completely violates and is contrary to what the scripture says, you are not obeying the Lord. Sure, there's some things that there's some area within, but there's a lot of stuff. It's really no gray area, you know. You know, it's really not debatable whether or not the Lord says you should not covet. That's not really a debate. You should not steal. That's not really a debate. You should not murder. That's not really a debate. That's not a debatable phenomenon. It's not a debatable phenomenon. It's appropriate to pray in this way. Because one of the things, and I know I've been kind of beating this drum for quite some time, but I'm going to continue to beat this drum because we're living in a time period where deception is rife. The scriptural warning in the last days, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Guys, we're living in that time period. The prevalence of deception is rife. It's rife. You know, I'll never forget. And this is just one, because it's kind of old hat, but it's still kind of new at the same time because of the depth of the deception. You know, YouTube got mad when we had Dr. Christina Parks on, who she literally dedicated her life to studying mRNA injections. She literally on this show explained all of this thing concerning spike proteins and all of these things, and YouTube kicked me off the show. Kicked me off YouTube. People say, Abe, you're spreading conspiracy theories. I say conspiracy theories. I'm talking to a scientist. I'm not a scientist. I'm talking to a scientist about what she knows, having studied this area. No, you can't talk about it. You can't talk about it. I shared on this show, reading the documents, when the United Nations explained that they knew that the whole physical distancing phenomenon and all that kind of stuff, the mask wearing, they knew it didn't have the scientific efficacy that was being built about. But they said we did it because we wanted to see how readily the populations of the world would comply. I had people telling me, Abraham, you're the reason why people are suffering. And I was like, what are you talking about? When you had Mr. Ice Cream Man, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. When the data showed, not so much, my friend. And I asked the question, how can you call something a vaccine if it doesn't prohibit transmission of the pathogen nor contraction of it? Why are you going? But you saw how many people complied. And I'm just using that as an example. There's so many other examples that I could go to, but the purpose of this is to show, man, God has made his spirit available to us and has granted us his holy word to evaluate everything. To evaluate everything. I'm not saying you need to be a know-it-all. and that you're going to be 100% perfect on every single thing. But at a minimum, we should cling to the truth of God's word and evaluate everything else in light of what the scripture teaches.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
What should a pro-life church look like? It's a church that will prayerfully consider encouraging members to volunteer at local pregnancy centers and to volunteer for other pro-life ministries. It's a church that would prayerfully consider supporting a baby clothes closet with diapers, clothes, wipes, and other needed items. It's a church that will prayerfully consider becoming a sanctuary church. They will help moms who find themselves expecting a baby at a difficult time. They will come alongside a mother who feels all alone and walk with her through her term of pregnancy and beyond. It's a church that will learn about important pro-life outreach ministries that are doing vital work to end legalized abortion in different ways. Am I really seeking to honor the Lord in doing what He would have me to do as an individual disciple of Christ to help stand for life?
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. As I've been explaining to you this week and mentioning all throughout the week, June 4th through the 6th, we will be in Richmond, Virginia for the Home Educators Association of Virginia's 2026 convention. I will be speaking there several times, several workshops in Richmond, Virginia, if you're in the area. Area that also used to be home to Mr. Rosa, the state, I should say. He doesn't like when I say that. Oh, in that area.
Oh, yeah.
We'd love to see you there. HEAV.org is the website where you would need to go to register. HEAV.org is the website where you would need to go to register. And then the very next week, June 11th through the 13th, we'll be in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania at the Christian Home Educators Homeschool Association of Pennsylvania's convention 2026 as well at Elizabethtown College. Looking forward to being there. We'll be broadcasting live from both locations during both of those conventions. And being there, coming up and being in Michigan last week, and really just many of you guys know that my wife and I, we disciple our children from the home, which includes their education. That's the way that the Lord has led us from really the beginning. We started on this journey even before we had children, as the Lord was pressing us in this direction. And thinking about that and listening to, you know, the absolutely ludicrous comments that Katie Turr made, and even just anecdotally polling people, and I asked you to do the same, not to poll people, but to think about how many people in your lives would share the same position that Katie Turr had. How many people that do you know would share that same position to when, you know, Speaker Mike Johnson is praying and he literally says what the Declaration of Independence says concerning where the American people get our rights from, and frankly, all people being made in the image of God, that we have unalienable rights. And she was bewildered that he would make such an assertion. And she had to be told by one of her show guests, well, it's not an entirely uncommon notion. Like, are you kidding me? Entirely uncommon? That's like the founding thesis for this country. And then I thought about it, you know, thought about it some more. And I said this part, you know, Katie Turr has been schooled, which is why I often say that schooling is not synonymous with being educated. They're not the same thing. And, you know, some would quip, you know, Abe, the problem is just that the government education system has failed, to which I often reply and say, well, in order for you to assess whether or not something has succeeded or failed, you have to know what the intention was from the very beginning. And, you know, one of the presentations that I have done, and I actually did this presentation in Michigan, was kind of walk through the history of government education dating back to its genesis under the government system with Horace Mann, where he tried to import the Prussian system in the United States of America, and how The objective was never to educate, as we commonly understood, but it was to create compliance in a docile and obedient populace that really were all taught the same thing. And like Horace Mann bristled at the idea that you could actually have children who learn differently. And I've said to people in person, I don't know if I've ever said this on a radio, but someone asked me a question about standardized testing, and I said, well, what actually is a standardized child? Does anybody have a standardized children? Like, what are we talking about here? How can you standardize a child who is individually made in the image of God and even reflected in an individualized fingerprint? There have been so many people in our country who have been intimidated and trained really not to strive to be all that God has made them to be because they've been told by the indoctrination system that they're not intelligent, that they're not smart. When the truth is, all people made in God's image have all the capacity that God has created for every human being, that we're all smart, we're just smart differently. You have some people, this is an example of contrast, you have some people who are kinesthetic learners. What I mean by that is that in order for them to comprehend information and convey information, they have to physically, tangibly manipulate the stimuli. You have other people, they're linear learners. Like I have a son, like I just described, that's linear. Give him a book, put him in a corner, he's fine. My oldest daughter, she's a kinesthetic learner. She has to physically engage with the material. Both of them are equally intelligent. Some of you listening to me, you would say, man, you know, the classroom, being stuck in a room all day long is not for me. But give me a piece of wood, give me a saw, let me cut. I can learn geometry. Like, what we have experienced, man, and we have good people of well intention who have invested their lives in this system, who are trying their very best. But you cannot stick 30 people with different learning styles, different understanding capacities, different gifts, different talents, different abilities, and say, now all of you be the same. What happens is that we teach to a mean, and the mean only corresponds to the person who you can give a book and stick in the corner. And if you can memorize and recite after having been given a book and stuck in the corner, then our society says you're smart. But if you're the type of person that needs to physically engage with the material or the stimuli in order to grasp it and to convey it, our system tells you, well, maybe you're not that smart. I've had people tell me, man, because I was a lifelong C student and D student, I never thought I was smart. I never thought I was intelligent. When the truth is, you're exceedingly intelligent. In law school, it's a running joke that the best law students become teachers. The C law students become the most wealthy, the most successful practitioners. That's a common joke. And it just really, really... It really, really bothers me, man, that our entire society is built and bent this way. And then I share this. This is a part. I've shared this on the show before, and I shared this in presentations before. In a Supreme Court case in 2022, before he retired, Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer said the quiet part out loud, because all along we've been told, we've been sold in our country, that, you know, our system of indoctrination is for reading, writing, and arithmetic. You know, that education is neutral when there's no such thing as neutral. But Justice Breyer explained in the Carson versus Macon case, decided June 21st, 2022, and this is in his dissent on page 12 of his dissent, he was explaining the rationale for continuously supporting a public, Rush Limbaugh called them schools, with tax dollars, and explain this is why we support public schools with tax dollars. He said this, quote, by contrast, public schools, including those in Maine, seek first and foremost to provide a primarily civic education. We've said that in doing so, they comprise a most vital civic institution for the preservation of a democratic system of government and the primary vehicle for transmitting the values on which our society rests, end quote. All along, the public marketing pitch has been, this is about a neutral pursuit of reading, writing, and arithmetic. When behind the scenes, they are saying, oh, no, this is the primary vehicle for transmitting values upon which our society rests. Did you realize that? That this is, in their view, And I'm talking about the architects behind the scenes and the supporters behind the scenes. They'll never put this on a bumper sticker. When have you ever seen a bumper sticker that says, public school, values transmission entity? They never say that. But that's what it's been. What kind of values are being transmitted? Well, let's see. Let's see. The system excludes intentionally the knowledge of God. You cannot lawfully in the public indoctrination system discuss the truth of God's word, lay Christ at the foundation of all learning. So what values would be transmitted then? Oh, you know, maybe the type of values that lead Katie Turr to say is Speaker Johnson trying to put God over the Declaration of Independence. You see what I'm saying? Guys, we didn't just arrive where we are. We've discipled our way into it. So one of the questions when we open the phone lines I want to ask is that when you recognize all of these things, you learn about the data and the statistics, and you recognize we're living in the harvest of seed sown at least 100 and 150 years ago. What is keeping you, if anything, from making the decision to cultivate your children's mind from your homes? What may be keeping you from doing so? You know, I'd like to hear from you on that point. What may be keeping you from doing so? How many more stories we have to go through all along, over and over and over again, that shows the systematic and intentional exclusion of the knowledge of God from the cultivation of the mind will inevitably result in a godless populace? That's just the truth. Now, before we get to that, there's several things I want to just address. One of them I mentioned, and I'll hit this one. I'll hit this one really quickly. Raul Castro has been indicted in Florida. Listen to and watch this brief report on it. Clip number 5, go.
Today, we are announcing an indictment charging Raul Castro and several others with conspiracy to kill U.S. nationals. Mr. Castro and the others are charged with additional crimes as well, including destruction of aircraft and 4 individual counts of murder. The indictment was returned by a grand jury sitting in this district in Miami on April 23rd. 2026 and was unsealed today. For nearly 30 years, the families of 4 murdered Americans have waited for justice. My message today is clear. The United States and President Trump does not and will not forget its citizens.
So that was Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche announcing the unsealing of the indictment against Raul Castro, who is the former president of Cuba and longtime defense minister. And he was indicted along with 5 co-defendants for conspiracy to kill U.S. nationals, destruction of aircraft, and 4 counts of murder in connection with the 1996 incident where Cuban jets shot down humanitarian flights of the Cuban exile group Brothers to the Rescue. Some of you listening may be very familiar with Brothers to the Rescue, because that was a hot and heavy campaign for quite some time in the 90s, but there has never been any federal indictments regarding it to date. Well, that has changed. The indictment occurred in April and was unsealed this week concerning Raul Castro. Next, the thing that I mentioned, and this is one of Bobby's favorites, Thomas Massie. Thomas Massie lost his re-election bid in the GOP primary in Kentucky.
Why are you crying?
Oh, wow. Nah, I didn't do that. Bobby did that. I like Thomas Massie. Bobby doesn't like him. And I there's a lot I can say about it, but I didn't say a lot during the primary. I don't tend to weigh in on GOP primaries, generally speaking. He had become, to President Trump, a thorn in his side, which I found this contrast interesting. Massie was a horrible person, but he had glowing things to say about Xi Jinping. Isn't that interesting? Obviously, 2 different conversations, but I just found that interesting. But I have a broader question. I want to share a little bit from Massey's concession speech where his audience was quite fired up for him. But with Thomas Massey, you see the loss that Bill Cassidy had in Louisiana, which I am no fan of Bill Cassidy. And I really feel like to my home state brother, I'm like, what took y'all so long kind of thing. Like this dude should have been out a long time ago. But I believe that's part of the problem when you recognize that, wait a minute. So you tell me that the whole thing with Senate incumbents that they will never lose, like this is the first time in like how long? That's a part of the problem that we're having. If you have people that campaign one way but govern another way, they should be ousted. That's why we have the democratic features of our constitutional republic. But getting back to Congressman Thomas Massey, now former or soon to be former Congressman Thomas Massey, was interesting because during his concession speech, he was saying or presenting to his audience the question rhetorically, what is God trying to show us in all of this? And the audience responded in a very, very interesting way. Listen to and watch clip number six. Clip six, go.
What happened tonight was God's will. And we have to figure out what was the purpose of having the biggest fight ever. Yeah. Biggest fight ever. Why did it converge on one of 435 congressional seats right here in Kentucky? What was God's purpose? What is he showing us tonight? We're just getting started. I like that. What happens in 2028? You want me to run for Congress again? I don't know what you're talking about. You made a compelling argument. You spoke your piece.
Does that mean Thomas Massey wants to run for president? I don't think so. His supporters were very riled up. But when you watch the clip, Massey completely poo-pooed the idea. But you have all kind of media saying, oh, Massey is saying he's going to run for president. That's not what he was saying. His supporters were saying they want him to run for president. I highly doubt that Thomas Massey will run for president in 2028.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Another development that transpired this week is while President Trump has stayed out of the primary race for the U.S. Senate in the Republican Party in the state of Texas, he announced his endorsement this week as well, posting on Truth Social. President Trump has thrown his endorsement weight behind Texas's Attorney General Ken Paxton. Mm-hmm. This is against the incumbent GOP Senator John Cornyn, which presents the question, will John Cornyn be the next incumbent GOP Senator to lose? Whereas President Trump's endorsement goes against conventional wisdom in terms of the GOP establishment, because the establishment position has been that John Cornyn had the best chance to beat Talarico in the state of Texas. Yeah, I think I had it right the first time. If you recall, I did a show on James Tallarico, who purports to be a minister of some sort, but who really lies about the text of Scripture, who is exceedingly regressive. The Democrat Party sees this race as an opportunity to flip a seat in the state of Texas, which is why they're spending all kinds of money. But they did that with, what was old boy's name? Beta?
Beto.
Roberto. Beto. He tried to present himself as his name, as if his name was Boito. Old Beto. O'Rourke. But, you know, that didn't fare too well for him. But the in President Trump's endorsement of Ken Paxton occurs just a couple weeks before the May 26th runoff primary election. And then the general election will be in November. So that is another circumstance, a situation where President Trump has supported a challenger to the Republican incumbent. Thomas Massie was in the House of Representatives. Bill Cassidy was in the U.S. Senate. John Cornyn is in the U.S. Senate. In his endorsement, which was posted on Truth Social, President Trump said this, quote, Ken, let me go back to the beginning of it. Ken Paxton has my complete and total endorsement to be the next United States Senator from the great state of Texas. Ken is a true MAGA warrior who has always delivered for Texas and will continue to do so in the United States Senate. Ken Paxton has gone through a lot, in many cases very unfairly, but he is a fighter and knows how to win. Our country needs fighters and also loyalty to the cause of greatness, end quote. I think President Trump's last words are his most weighted portion, to where loyalty seems to be the thing. Now, I think John Cornyn has not represented the interests of the state of Texas as well as I believe Texans should have been represented. But it will be interesting to see what happens there. Many will know that Ken Paxton has had lots of troubles recently, even in his personal life and things in his conduct of the office of the Attorney General, while he also has had things that he's done that have been quite successful for the state, the latest of which being the establishment of the detransitioner clinic in Texas Children's Hospital in Houston, Texas, that we talked about this week. So it will be interesting, and there's so much more I can say about all of this, but I'm just giving you kind of a helicopter view of all of this as it's transpiring. So the second part of the question, and this is where we're going to open the phone line. So let me give the number again, and I'll give you the two things I want to talk to you about. I've already described the first one, but the number to call is 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. The first issue I'd like to discuss with you, with all the things that are transpiring, I've talked to many people who say, you know, Abe, I want to, you know, disciple my children from the home. I want to homeschool, but I've just had this impediment. If you're willing to have the conversation with me, I'd like to invite you to share with us and a few of our friends, if you want to do this, what is the thing that is holding you back? Some people have said, you know, it's financial strain. Some people have said, well, I don't feel like I'm qualified to do this. Some people have said that time is a challenge. Whatever it is, if you're willing to have the conversation, I'd like to have it with you. What is it that may be holding you back? Because it is embarrassingly shameful to have Katie Turr on national television to say that she doesn't understand the passage that Mike Johnson, in which he, in her view, is he elevating God over the Declaration of Independence? It's just, wow. The second issue, if you want to discuss it, I'd like for you to do so. I welcome you to do so, is how do you feel the direction of the country is going? Are you comforted by it? Are you concerned about it? How do you feel about the direction of the country? Namely, one of the issues is obviously President Trump's term will conclude prior to 2028. There are really only about 2 years left in President Trump's term. Do you think the country is put on a good footing for life after President Trump, or are you concerned about the direction of the country? with life after President Trump? Those are the things I'd like to discuss with you. Again, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. Those are the two areas. If you've been wanting to homeschool, but you've been hesitant, what has been the hesitation? And the second area that I'd like to discuss with you is, how do you feel about the country's direction, especially for the years following President Trump's term? Are you concerned about it? You think we're on a good footing? Where are you? What would you like to say? 888-589-8840 is the number. As the callers are coming in, I see we have some calling already. I want to mention this. Just as we saw in the state of Virginia, the efforts to illegally redistrict the state of Virginia, where there was a 6-5 balance of congressional districts, with Republican districts versus Democrat districts. Governor Abercrombie and Fitch signed the law to try to flip that to where it would be 10-1 to favor the Democrats. And then you saw that led to both the state Supreme Court of Virginia saying, not so fast, my friend. And then at the exact same time at the United States Supreme Court in the state of Louisiana versus Calais, where the state of Louisiana congressional maps was brought before the court, and the court radically, I won't say radically, but the court changed the approach to the Voting Rights Act, Section 2 particularly, to say that skin shade cannot be the predominant factor in drawing congressional districts. So that led to a massive redistricting effort, largely led by Republican states thereafter, Tennessee one of the first to make their adjustments. Well, the same thing happened in Georgia, but as it applies to Supreme Court districts in Georgia, they vote for the Supreme Court, but it ultimately did not pan. But to the phone lines we go. We'll start in Oklahoma, where Scott is on the line. Scott, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program. What is it that you want respond to, Scott?
Well, I just wanted to talk about where I believe that the country was headed after Trump.
Okay.
I'm not optimistic, I guess you could say. I'm a Bible thumper. and if we can't really know exactly what prophecy states, and I mean, we know what's coming. We don't know how it's going to look. We know that things are going to happen, but we are on the knife's edge. I moved my family away from the city. We live out in 32 acres. I'm 100% disabled vet. I don't have any faith in our justice system. I don't have any faith in our politicians. I think 435 of them need to resign. Another 100 need to resign. And let's start over. I did get in trouble for saying a few other things that I'm not going to say here. But it's either we take our country back or it's gone.
Scott, thank you for your call and your comments. First, let me say, especially as we're approaching the observation of Memorial Day, thank you for your service to our country. When you say 435 need to resign and you're not very optimistic and being on the knife's edge, I know there are others who share that sentiment. I think in a lot of ways there have been an accumulation of things that have transpired that have, no pun intended, but fundamentally transformed the way our nation functions, to where the 435 you reference have effectively forfeited their operation and their function, and they have reduced the role of Congress members to nothing more than campaigning in for election and campaigning for re-election, and in the process pursuing self-enrichment at the expense of the American populace. Now, I do not think that is everybody. I think that there are some good people in the swamp, but there's two things. One, there's a significant minority of good people. And two, the swamp is far more swampy than I think any people want to truly, truly, truly acknowledge. But Scott, thank you for your call and your comments. And I pray for you. And man, 32 acres. I have the feeling that people shouldn't try to run up on Scott without announcing their intention on the front end, if y'all get my drift. All right, back to the phone lines. We go, we'll go next to Missouri, where Dennis is on the line. Dennis, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. You've got a good program. I like to listen to you regularly. And I really like your commentary. I'm a disabled vet, retired Navy, and I think our country needs, everybody needs to stop and look at the situation. They stand with God, examine themselves, repent of their sins, and ask the Lord back into their lives. Our country has to do that, top to bottom, and start praying for who we're going to put into office, because that's our responsibility. Right now, as it stands, I'm not going to say I'm not optimistic. I'm just kind of holding my thought on the matter because we've got a lot of work to do. There are a lot of good people in our country who care about the country. But we just need to be on our knees before the Lord, praying for our nation and its leaders.
Dennis, thank you for your call and your comments. So well said. Also, thank you for your service to our nation and your encouragement and admonition, frankly, for us to be on our knees before the Lord is one that I don't think can be stated often enough. Next, we go to Virginia, to where John is on the line. John, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to give a call just to make reference to research that is still ongoing to promote industry-led skills apprenticeship for secondary students. Mm-hmm. It started in Switzerland actually 30 years ago when after working up the Arctic Circle with NASA on the North Warning Program, I was working alongside Canadian radiations that knew as much about electronics as I did. I had 2 undergraduate degrees. Asked one of the guys, how did you do that? He said, apprenticeship, eh? So long story short, went to Switzerland, lived there 3 years, stole their apprenticeship system and brought it back here. The point of this is that I'm working with captains of industry now who came to me and they want to do an end run around the government school system. Since the doors somewhat seem to remain closed in my view, in my perspective. But I'm very hopeful. As a devout Christian, I know who controls this world. And I know the outcome is going to be positive. Lord said, I'm the crew to complete all good works that have begun. So thank you for all you do. You're a light in the darkness and very uplifting to listen to.
John, thank you for your call and your comments and even your willingness to take what you've learned on the apprenticeship front and bring it back home. And this is something that used to be normalized in our nation, where you had apprenticeships that were established in our country. And these are things that can be done again if we will do them again. It's one of those areas where I would say living locally has to be what is advocated for, because there are lots of people. John referred to captains of industry. There are lots of people who, even in your small business context, where you can invite others to participate in apprenticeship. And frankly, an apprenticeship can really be an occupational and skill set development component of a discipleship investment. So thank you to all of the callers. There were some who called that we couldn't get to, but Lord willing, we'll try to do so in the future. But these are things that are worth pondering. And one of the things that I endeavor to live, instead of being someone who just complains about and despises the darkness, why not put the light on the lampstand? God calls us not to this secular notion of successfulness, but the Lord calls us to faithfulness. What is foremost required of a servant, that he be found faithful. You all have a great evening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.